That's a real sign, by the way. Just sort of included there this morning. It's called Wong Way. I mean, what a name for a street. It's in Tiano in New Zealand. I had to go back and take a picture when I saw that. There is a Chinese restaurant at the end of the street, but if you turn down there, you've probably gone the Wong Way because it's a dead end. But I mean, they could have called it Wong Street or Wong Avenue, but Wong Way, like, come on, it's funny, isn't it? Well, I thought it was funny. Okay, that's not especially what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about this morning are choices. Choices. You all okay with this now? He looks like he's got a choice to make. We've all got choices to make. Even if you feel powerless, you have choices to make. And I suppose the first thing, I'm going to just put three very simple choices before you this morning. There's the first big choice in life, to choose yes or to choose no. Let me read you a story from the Bible, actually a verse from the Bible. When I became a Christian, I was 18. I mean, I'd grown up in Christendom. I'd grown up in a Christian home, but didn't become a Christian for myself till I was 18. And then I responded, I realized what Jesus had done for me, and I said, how could you not love someone who does that for you? And I was reading at the time a book called The Parables of Peanuts.
Yeah, sorry.
Full disclosure here. It was a commentary on the comic strip. The comic strip that has Snoopy and Charlie Brown and Lucy and Linus. You know those people, don't you? I mean, that's literature, people. That is literature. So I was reading this book, which not only had the comic strips, but had a commentary on the comic strips. And the author quoted this verse from 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And it says this. It says, Elijah went before all the people, and he said this. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And the people said, nothing. Nothing. They didn't say yes, they didn't say no. They didn't say we'll choose the Lord, they didn't say we'll choose Baal. They just stood limping there between this opinion and that opinion. So the first decision you have to make is the decision to make a decision. Smarter people than me say things like this. In any situation, there's a good decision and there's a bad decision, but the worst decision of all is not to make a decision. At least if you make a decision, you can change your mind afterwards. But if you don't make a decision, nothing happens. So there it was, make a decision. I was by myself that day and I made this decision. Well, of course, if Jesus has died for me, I'm going to say yes. So the first big choice in making a decision is we've got to make a decision. And it's typically a yes, no. An opportunity comes. A decision arises, you have to say yes or to say no. For example, baptisms, 29th this month. Did I happen to mention that? There's baptisms. So you can decide, yes, I'm going to be baptized. You can decide, no, I'm not. You make a decision. Okay, it's a yes or no thing. Now, yes and no is very strange. Some people have a hard time handling these two words. Some people feel bad if they say no. So they say yes, but they mean no. Have you met people like that? Now, I am a slow learner, but some years ago, I asked a certain person to do a certain thing. Now, looking back, I realized he was saying no, but what he said to me was yes. But my mother thinks I'm too busy. You see, he wasn't saying no. His mother was saying no. In fact, his mother wasn't even saying no. He was just saying something about what his mother thought. And so then I wondered why he didn't kind of proceed with his yes. Because he kind of said no by saying yes. Funny, isn't it? No, there's no one here like that. Okay? But Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Even Jesus says, you can say yes, you can say no. I mean, Christianity invented atheism. Did you know that? The Christians were blamed for being atheists in the Roman Empire. They wouldn't worship the emperor or all the other gods. In fact, they only worshipped one god, which is kind of restrictive. Okay? Jesus says, you can say no if you want. That's why as Christians, we respect atheists. You can say no. You have choice. Some people, like I say, always say yes. Other people always say no. They're kind of expecting that life is there to kind of sort of get them and exploit them. So any suggestion, no. It's always no first, because maybe their experience has been people aren't safe. People aren't good for you. They're going to suggest things to you and they're only out for themselves. So you can be someone who says yes, you can be someone who says no, but hey, you only have a choice. If you're accustomed to saying yes, you can say no sometimes. Did you ever say no to someone you've been accustomed to saying yes to? If you've got a controlling person in your life, and you've always said yes to them, and one day you decide, I'm going to say no. So you say no, and they go ballistic. They weren't really your friend all along. Try it. Try saying no. I mean, not just for an experiment, but try it because you want to say no sometime. No, I won't come with you this weekend. I've decided to take a break. You what? Yeah, like I said. So you can say yes. If you're accustomed to saying no, you can say yes. You can say no. Even if you're accustomed to saying yes, you can say no. You can choose. You might think you've got very few choices. You're sitting there thinking, James, you're talking to these people, and some of these people have got big decisions to make. But then there's me. My life's very restricted. I don't have a lot of decisions to make because people decide things for me. You know what? Even if you're locked up in prison, you've got decisions you can make. Even if you're wearing a straitjacket, you've got decisions you can make. You can make some choices. And there's power in those choices you make. Anyway, yes or no, that's the first big decision. Will it be yes? Will it be no? Oh, she's got a decision to make too, by the looks of things. Okay, here's another decision to make. Will I wait or will I go? Like, will I do it now or will I do it later? Microsoft had this great slogan a few years ago. Not someday, now. You know, they were kind of underlining this thing. That when you decide to do something, you can say, okay, I'll do that. But I won't do it now. I'll do it later. And that can be legitimate. Or that can be a mask. I've learned, this is me, like I said, I'm a slow learner, I'm still learning at my age. I've learned, for me, just to do things. Sometimes I wait. Sometimes I get a form to fill at work. I think, oh my goodness, that's going to take a long time. And I'm so busy. I've so much to do. I'll put it there and I'll get on to it. And I get on doing my things. And like 2 weeks later, when things are a bit slacker, I can say, at last, now there's time to do that thing. And I pick it up. And like it's all done in 10 minutes. And I think, what was I putting it off for? If I just stepped into it, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. So sometimes we can put things off because we think it's going to be more than what it is. We say wait when it's not such a big deal. Sometimes waiting can be fear. Sometimes we say, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it now. I'm kind of afraid to start it. We might be afraid of failure. We might also be afraid of success. I think there's just as many people afraid of success as failure. Because if you do it and you succeed, then everyone will expect you to do it again. And then if you fail, then you're going to look like a right wally then. When everyone thinks you're a hero and you fail later on. Or sometimes waiting can be someone saying no. My friend, who told me yes, but that his mammy thought he was busy, he decided to wait a while. I mean, everything about him was screaming, no, 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 but he couldn't say no. So he said, later, yes. Every word in the dictionary was used except the word no. Okay. We can cope with no. We know where we stand. Why would you wait? There are good reasons why you might wait for certain decisions. You might not be ready. Okay, you want to get married, but you know, you might want to finish school first. Well, primary school anyway. Okay? So it's smart to say, okay, I want to do that thing, but I'm not ready now. I want to do that thing, but I want to take some training first. I want to do that thing, but I'm doing something else, and I want to finish that, and then I'll do it. So, yeah, I'll do it. I'll wait. Or maybe the situation isn't ready. You might say, you know, I want to do something outside, but, like, I'll wait till the shower is over. There might be something about the situation that you need to wait for. Wait until it's opportune time. There's a great, great question in Acts 22:16 when we're waiting. Or if someone's response is to wait, here's the great question. This is where Paul, our apostle, the person who brought the gospel to us Gentiles, all of us who are not Jews here this morning. Okay. When he met Jesus and discovered that he had been persecuting the Christians, and that was Jesus he was persecuting, he finished his journey, and someone came and spoke to him about Jesus, and then said to him, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Do you get that question? What are you waiting for? If you find that your response to a decision is, well, I think I'll wait, here's a great question. What are you waiting for?
I don't know.
Well, how will you know when it happens then? Sorry for being so direct, okay? But if you're waiting for the bus, well, when the bus comes, you get on the bus. If you're waiting but you don't know why you're waiting, well, how do you know? It's a great, great question to ask yourself. If you say, well, I'm going to do that and I'm going to do it later. You want to have a rest first? You want to get ready? Wait for an opportunity? Or are you just talking to yourself about waiting and you're not quite sure what you're thinking? Okay. What are you waiting for? Wash your sins away, calling on his name. Okay. That is wait or go. Another decision maker. Okay. Here's a third part decision. Me decide or we decide? Me or us? So we've got to make a yes-no decision. We've got to make a go or wait decision. And we've got to make a me or us decision. Now, if you make a decision yourself, and if you make a decision against the grain of your companions, you're a courageous person. And sometimes you have to be that courageous person. And sometimes when you do that, your companions will be glad that you did. You know, because maybe they wanted that decision, but they didn't want to be the one to step out and say, actually, yeah, I like what you've just decided, but I didn't want to say it because I wanted to merge in with the group. So it's a good thing to be gutsy. And sometimes in life, we all have to have guts. Some of us have a personality that's more suited to that than others. There's an advantage in making a decision together because when people decide something together, they can support each other in it. And there's encouragement in that to do something together. If you make a decision too, you also, with other people, you can influence others. You can say, hey, let's do this. And that can be a good word to them. If you're influenced by other people in decision making, you need to be careful who you choose as your influencers. If you just choose the people you're with right now, it's going to be difficult for you. You're with these people, you choose this, you're with those people, you choose that. Then someday you're with them all together and I'm sick, I'm going home. You just don't know how to be. Okay, let me read you something from Acts chapter 16. There's a suicidal guy in this passage and we can learn a lot from him. But let's start off by learning something about making decisions alone or together. This is Acts chapter 16. Okay. In fact, there's a lot of tidbits in here. So in Acts chapter 16, Paul, our apostle, was traveling along on his journey, didn't know where to go, was trying to make a decision. He tried one thing and it didn't work. Then he didn't know what to do. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. There was a big burning question of the day in their age. And that was, do the Gentiles have to get circumcised? Do they have to become Jews? I mean, there are burning questions in every age, or what seem to be burning questions. So the council met at Jerusalem, all the elders and apostles met at Jerusalem, says, what are we going to do about this? And they made a decision together. They decided, here's the situation. The people who aren't Jews, they don't have to become Jews. And they don't have to be circumcised. They should just do this and that, and that's enough. And they made that decision together. Now, if you're part of a group that makes a decision together, you are responsible to the group for that decision. And so when you're then communicating that decision, you have to communicate it on behalf of all the people who are entitled to make it. And maybe the decision wasn't your idea. But as Paul went around, he, as an individual, communicated the decision that was made collectively. Do you get this? That can be a bit of pressure into your life. You know, suppose you're a member of a committee or something else, and the committee makes a decision. We're not going to give any money to sort of paint the front gate. And then you meet someone who loves that front gate, and they say, are we getting any money this year to paint the front gate? Well, now, what you have to say is, no, the committee decided that wasn't a priority this year. What you could do, if you're a weak person, you could say, yeah, well, I wanted to give you money, but that other crowd, they wouldn't let you. I'm with you. You know, so you're agreeing with everybody while you're with them. So it requires a certain amount of maturity and composure to just be able to say, in this situation, I'm representing the plurality. Okay, so there's some decision making made by us. Now, verse 10. They were wondering where to go, Paul and his traveling companions, Dr. Luke and a few others. They didn't know where to go. They tried some, didn't work, tried some else, didn't work. They knew God had called them, but they didn't know where. Then it says, verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. A bit like Patrick had a vision of the Irish people saying that. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you dig that? They were looking for guidance. God gave guidance to Paul. They said, we're in this together. There's a real strength to be able to go together, especially when nobody has a clue. And then one person gets some revelation from God, and they move together on the basis of that. Anyway, that's not the main story. The main story, well, still not the main story, but when they got to Philippi, it's in modern-day Greece, there was a woman there called Lydia. And it says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, do you get this? She's a kind of an us person. It wasn't just herself that responded, but her whole household responded. She said, come on, do you hear this? Let's respond to God. She invited us to her home. Do you get this again? She's a let's be together kind of person. She didn't say, gosh, that's great. That's brilliant now. See you next Sunday. Or was it Saturday? You know, she said, come on, let's stay together. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. She's putting the pressure on now, isn't she? And she persuaded us. It's like they didn't want to go. It wasn't their plan, but she was a together person. So we can influence each other in decision making. Anyway, in the same town, we get to the suicidal guy. Let's get on to this. So things were going well. This often happened. When Paul would go around preaching the gospel, people would say, oh, this is brilliant. And then someone would come along and say, no, it's not so brilliant. Let's stone him. They say, okay, let's stone him. And the people who would be saying it's brilliant one day, the same people would be saying, let's all stone him the next day. It's weird, isn't it? The way people allow collective decisions to be made for them. Be careful that you're not drawn into someone else's row with somebody. Okay? You meet someone who's mad at someone else. It's not your row. Be sympathetic to whoever you meet, but don't borrow someone else's enmity. But anyway, verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. They joined in. It was just the owners of a certain slave girl that got mad at him. But they stirred this thing up, and the crowd were drawn in. They made a choice. They let someone else make a choice for them. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Watch this guy, the jailer. He's going to have an interesting 24 hours. Okay? When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. You see, if you've got your feet in stocks, you've got some choices. They said, let's sing. And the other prisoners were listening to them. When you make choices, you do influence the people. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. He would get killed anyway, as you know, in his annual review, which would have been arranged for the next morning. You let some prisoners escape? Okay, this is what we do with jailers, let prisoners escape. So he thought, they're going to kill me. I'll just do it now because I don't want them to do it in the morning. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. It's a bit like wait. Wait is a better decision in this moment. If you're suicidal, wait is a good decision because life can change. This guy was suicidal and thought it was all over. Paul says, wait. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. Like the chains are falling down, the doors are open, but we just thought we'd stay. I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs. I mean, you know from the first word, you know that he's saying yes to them. Sir and sir. Okay? Him just after locking them up in jail. It's funny how the tables turn in certain relationships. Sir, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. They didn't hang about. When they heard the gospel, got baptized that day. He heard the gospel at night, he got baptized that night. Do you notice he's not just a yes man, he's a go man. He said, I'm going to wait. No, let's do it now. Let's do it before daybreak. Let's do it now. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. He's also an us man. So I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but he decided, I'm going to say yes to this gospel. I'm going to say, go, let's do it now. And I'm going to say, us, we've all heard this gospel and believed. So, people, we have choices to make. Did I mention we have baptisms on the 29th of the month? I did. Okay, so there's that. Or the other choice we have to make in life. We've yes and no's. And you know what? You have power to make choices. If you didn't know, I'm telling you this morning. Some people go through life and they think, oh, it's terrible, and the boss, and this, and that. As if you're just a victim and dragged through life by somebody else. Actually, no. You have choices you can make. And even if your boss is a jerk, you can make some good choices. I mean, Paul and Barnabas were locked up and they decided, well, let's sing a song. How about that? Let's sing a hymn. You could try that with your boss. Okay? Okay, you don't like your boss. Lots of people don't like their boss. It's a thing. I have a friend who's English. He came to work in an Irish multinational company. He didn't understand it. He said, I talk to people here and they say, I ask them, what do you think of your boss? And they say, he's a jerk. And I say to them, what would you like for your own career? I'd like to be a boss. It's a thing we have. It's a cultural thing we have here. We don't like our bosses sometimes. Okay, so we have choices. Whatever our situation, we're locked up or feel like we're locked up. We have choices. We can say yes. We can say no. We can say, I'll do it now. We can say, I'll wait. We can say, I'll do it by myself. We'll say, hey, will we do this together? We have choices. Today I choose. There's a song by Brian Dirksen that says, today I choose to honor you. Today I choose to give my life to you. We can respond to God wherever we are and say, today, Lord, I'm choosing. What a day you're going to have. Isn't this good? Lord, thank you that you set before us the way of life and the way of death. You give us a choice. You, Lord Jesus, have opened your arms on the cross and sacrificed your life so that we could have our sins forgiven and live with you in eternal life. And we can choose to respond to you in faith and love. And today, Lord, I choose. You can finish the sentence. Lord, today I choose. You finish that sentence. You put up one more song there for us, please, Emmy, my dear, while people are finishing that sentence to God. Lord, today I choose.